As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Every Tuesday, we check in at City Hall, and our great friend is the mayor of the great city of Bloomington. It's John Hamilton, and we haven't talked. Number one, how are you, my friend? Thanks for coming back.
Hey, nice to be with you again, Mike. Good there. All's well. Thank you for asking.
And we haven't spoken a couple of weeks, and you'd think, okay, well, you know, well, it's summertime. There's nothing going on here, but we have a list of things that, well, it's pretty long and pretty intensive. But we'll start with the what's on everybody's mind, obviously. And tomorrow morning, when the county commissioners get together, the worst kept secret in the city after your group got together, what was that, on Friday? It looks like the mask mandate is returning. Tell me what transpired in your meeting or your press conference on Friday from all your meetings leading up to that, Mr. Mayor, how we have gotten back to going back to wearing masks.
Yeah, you know, I said it feels like Groundhog Day, the movie, except that's a comedy and this is a tragedy, that we're just going back to what we've seen. We have cases rising and hospitalizations rising, and that's true locally, it's true in the state, it's true in the country, and it's really frustrating, I know, for everybody. But we follow the science, we always have, and I hope we always will, looking at how do we protect our health. So we are, it was really not a hard decision, and I am confident the commissioners will move forward tomorrow morning to say we really need to reinstate the masking, because this Delta variant is very transmissible and it's very dangerous, and we're seeing, you know, tripling and doubling of some of these basic numbers that are in the last month. So we have to stick to it, and it's really frustrating, but that's where we are.
And the other part of this equation is we know that, well, there's some leases that begin on August 1st, some leases that begin on August 15th, but we know on August 23rd that Indiana University will have they'll be welcoming back, 43,000 or so, which that's a nice shot in the arm population-wise. So we better have this in place before they get back.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing I think we've learned is if you're going to do something to protect folks in this pandemic, do it sooner rather than later, because the virus doesn't. It likes having head starts if you give it a head start. And I'll note what we're talking about is reinstating the mask mandate in the county, covering the whole county for basically public indoor spaces, restaurants and bars and stores and those kinds of things, with various exceptions if you're eating or drinking immediately and that kind of thing. And look, another way to think about this, Mike, is we got all these 0 to 12-year-olds, infants to 12-year-olds, cannot get vaccinated. They're not recommended. They can't get it. They're all going back to school, the school-age kids. They're all, as you said, many more people coming back to town. We are seeing kids getting sick, and they're at risk, and we don't know what long-term effects there may be. And if we can do the things we all need to keep them who can't get vaccinated from getting the sickness, let's for goodness sake do it. And vaccines are still free, they're still safe, they're still effective. We just hit about 60%, I think just 60% of our workforce in the city now has demonstrated that they are vaccinated, so I'm glad to get that number, but I'd like it to be higher. And you mentioned IU, I'll quit rattling in a moment, but I do want to note it is really important and significant that IU and IU Health have taken the steps they have to assure very high percentages of their folks are going to be vaccinated. That's a huge benefit to us. MCCSC, the school corporation, requiring masking and stuff. And gosh, did you hear $1,000 they're offering their staff?
I did.
That's a big deal. I felt like a piker after that. You know, I did $100 a few months ago, and I was early. But I'm really, you know, those are the things that can really make a difference, and I'm proud of them.
And if you had the money laying around to spend, we could always do that. But that was very interesting to read about that. So the mask mandate is back. Is there anything in your opinion that is going to come out tomorrow that maybe we haven't discussed here in the last couple of minutes, or is this pretty transparent of what's going to happen? The larger point being, bars and restaurants? Are we going to put plexiglass back up? Are we going to have different, you can't sit at the bar? Are we going back to that, or are we just starting with masks?
I think, and in the details of the order will be available tomorrow, but I think it's really going to focus on the masking that is easy to do, quick. We know how to do it, and we know it can help. It really can help slow the transmission of this very infectious virus. And so I think that's what we're going to basically see, which is not to say, as you would know, that other things may not happen. Let's hope this will really will help, flatten that curve and send us back in the right direction.
Now, when you get together with your group and meet as often as you do with the hospital leaders and the commissioners and everybody else, the metrics we're using moving forward might not be the same as the old metrics. Am I off base there? Or what are we looking at to either A, get to a point where we can lose the masks again, or heaven forbid, go the other direction, which I don't really want to talk about, but that we have to.
Yeah. Well, that's really driven by the health department, and I think the order ties us pretty closely to the state status, if you will, the mask, the county status. You know, we've gone from blue back to yellow, and that's based on a few key factors, like how many cases per 100,000 residents do you have. You know, we got below 20, we're now above 50. So that's an indicator. Your positivity rate, we were down around 2 and we're now up around 6%. So those are kind of some of the basic indicators that will drive this, I think. Or nationally at the Center for Disease Control may do some things that affect us too.
And that is the interesting part of it. So you're still going to meet weekly like you've been doing, and we'll just keep an eye
yes.
on this as we move forward. Mayor John Hamilton yes. is our guest. He checks in every Tuesday just after 4:05. Well, and at 4 o'clock this afternoon at Switchyard Park, you've got a big event going on until 7 p.m. Let's start there because, well, it is today and it's happening right now.
That's right. Right at Switchyard Park, we have the National Night Out, which is a big national celebration and commitment kind of to public safety. And from 4 to 7 right now, today, at the Switchyard Park Picnic Pavilion right there on the west entrance area, on the platform, as we call it, right in the center, is a place to stop by. You can see police officers and kind of help affirm the importance of protecting our public safety. So please drop on by if you're interested.
And that's free to everybody. That's no cost to park, no cost to do anything. But your police have still been busy, Mayor Hamilton. We've been following the situation that's been happening on the northwest side of town. And gunplay and gunfire it seems like it's continued for the entire month of July. I know we're only 3 days here into August. We prefer to it to stop. What can you tell the community about what Bloomington police are and federal officials are investigating, and why this problem keeps persisting in that area?
Yeah, you know, this is a mayor's nightmare and concern always of significant violence and gun. Particularly the prevalence of guns that can cause such mayhem so quickly as we've seen. These were not mass issues, but they could have, you know, they could have taken, any time a firearm goes off, you can lose a life, and we didn't. We had some injuries, but no loss of life, thank goodness. But it's a very active police investigation handful of shooting incidents that have happened, and we're very actively pursuing and welcome any information from the public about it. It's of great concern. You know, public safety is the base, the foundation of all that we do, and we take it very, very seriously. I'm really proud of our police force and what they do, and we're working closely with the community. I would mention, if folks are interested, there is going to be a community cookout up at Crestmont Park this weekend from 1 to 4 on Saturday. And that also is free, and it's a big cookout, and it'll be a big embrace of the community, and everyone is welcome to go up to that, too, between 1 and 4 on Saturday.
I think I read this before I went on vacation, so if I'm off base here, just go ahead and stop me. Federal officials are involved with some of the incidents been going on around that area. How or why are they involved, and what makes them get involved if that's the case?
Yeah, I think both the involvement of firearms and maybe crossing state lines and that kind of thing, and incidents of organized, if there's organized violence that may be happening or related to some of the issues that may involve federal help. We often work together with federal and state authorities, and in this case we're doing that just to try to make sure we can do everything possible to protect everybody.
So if people hear that, that is accurate, and there is the reason why that is going on. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon, and we talk about a big afternoon this evening with National Night Out. Well, we've got a big day tomorrow, as a lot of routines here locally are going to change, and so are traffic patterns, alarm clocks, and all kinds of stuff. School is back in session. Where are you going to be tomorrow morning?
Well, you know, if you're like me, it feels a little early, August 4th. I gotta keep getting used to that. But that's right. I'll be. We have this wonderful tradition that has been going on a few years, and I'll join it again this year. Where a group of folks, it's led by the Commission on the Status of Black Males, that organized this, and we show up at the various elementary schools to help welcome the kids back to school. It may be that they're the most excited about going back. Some of the older kids may not be so happy to end their summer so quickly. But so I'll be at Fairview School tomorrow in the morning, welcoming kids back. And it's going to change the rhythm of a lot of families, obviously, in our community. It means be really careful when you're out on the street and the roads, right? Because they're kids walking and biking and buses and it's been a little while since we've had that going on. So be extra careful in the next days.
And you'll learn quickly which areas of town to avoid around 2:20, 2:30, and 3:45 to 4 o'clock. Well, if you go fishing where the fish are, you're going to find some fish. So make sure. But we saw late last week that the city has put in some enhancements for school zones to make sure folks don't forget to slow down and pay attention. Kids don't. Adults, they need to. That's part of being an adult.
That's right. Yeah, I'm glad we're able to do that, to have some more active and visible and we hope effective reminders of folks to really be careful. You're not in such a hurry that you can't slow down to protect the school zone, so let's all do that.
You'll see some additional flashing lights and, again, crossing guards and everything else. And, again, just be cool. Pay attention, leave a little bit earlier, and we know this time of year is very, very, very busy. Let's all get into a rhythm, and then a couple weeks from now, we'll all be okay. But on the day one, it doesn't matter what day it is, Mayor Hamilton, you can't pass school buses when they're stopped with the arm out. You can't do any of that stuff no matter how late you are. So we better
people. Yeah, and you know, it's probably worth remembering, too. We tend to get a bunch of new drivers who arrive in town at the same time, as you mentioned, people coming in. And sometimes they don't know all the same rules, and they may not be used to our city and our streets and our one-way signs and all that. So all of us who are a little more experienced at it, let's be really good role models for the new drivers, too.
We're all in this together. That's exactly right. So take a deep breath, leave a few minutes earlier, and once you learn the system, you'll learn the places to avoid as school gets going and rolling along. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. He checks in every Tuesday just after 4:05. I thought, and again, I might be hallucinating. It's hard to tell sometimes. I thought I saw earlier this afternoon a sign just east of Walnut on 7th Street that said workers ahead. That means the 7 line is creeping towards the center of town.
It's making it. I actually walked it a day or two ago, and from campus all the way over to the B line, and yeah, the eastern part of it's already constructed and underway, and the middle section is under construction and working our way right toward the right in the center of town. So it should be heading close to you and your station before too long. And I'm really I'm really excited. Just for you to know, one thing I did ask, I was in there, and you'll see some of the places done, but they tend to wait to do the repaving in big chunks. So,
sure.
You know, it takes longer to do the curbs and the separators, and so you see all those set, and then in one big day or two, there'll be some new blacktop laid down, which will help make the whole place look good. So keep an eye on it. Still working.
I am, and I know it's. I think it's up to almost Lincoln Street now, and I can't see the corner of Washington. I'm close to that, but if they're putting signs up there, doing a little practice work, is the 7 line going to be uniform the entire way through 7th Street, or when we get to the intersection here of Walnut and 7th Street, because I'm looking at it and I see the green paint for the bike lane and the bikes move up here. Are we going to change all that, or is that going to be?
You know, it'll have a little rhythm to it, even like the B-line does some. I think there will be some changes to the in the cross streets and trying to give 7th Street more precedence and getting rid of some stop signs. But we have to put bus stops in certain places, so the path will have some rhythm to it, some variations, and the crossings at College and Walnut, the biggest streets, you know, will still, of course, have the stoplights and the physical makeup. But it, the goal is to make it feel like you are in a very safe, protected bike lane. So that's the hope that we'll get there.
Well, so it has to change then, because if you've seen and you've been down there, I was down there Sunday taking a look. Yeah, it feels like a shoot, for lack of a better word, where it's very uniform and you're ready to go. And tell you what, it's going to be quicker. And once people start figuring that out, that's the entire reason that we're doing this. Time budget on time. How's everything looking? We've had it hasn't rained too much here recently, so I'd hope that would help.
Yeah, I think as far as I know, they're still on time. You know, they made the first goal was to get to past Indiana for sure before the students came back, and they've definitely accomplished that, and they're moving on. So I think we're still looking for a completion before the winter. I probably shouldn't say before the snow falls, because I never know when that'll happen, but before we close out the year.
I was on my back deck last night and Sunday night, and I had sweatpants and a sweatshirt on both nights.
How about that? Right?
Great. I thought it was just fantastic. I had to come in last night because I mowed my yard, number one. I hadn't cut my grass because
How many times have you had to do that in the last 6 weeks, right?
Whew. It's been great, but when I was gone, for about 10 days, and I thought, well, geez, I'm going to come back. It's going to be the Serengeti. I'll be out here for hours. Well, it only rained half an inch when I was gone, so my grass was perfect, and it's green.
Yeah, yeah.
And how many times do we have green grass in August? Well, the answer is not very much, but when we've had 200 inches of rain, and I'm not making light of anybody else's situation, but that rain that we didn't have hopefully is helping these projects. I bet you'd hear if it wouldn't stay on the time, the good time thing. But we know your fire station on 4th Street has been knocked out, but there's a fire truck in there when I drove by the other day. What kind of charade are you playing here?
That's a little double take. You're like, wait a minute, what's that doing there?
I told my wife, they said that's going to be not, but there's a big, that's a hook and ladder truck in there. Well, that's the only place you can store it, right? That's the only garage big enough?
Well, so it's a little complicated. You know, since June 18th, 19th flood, that downtown fire station right on 4th Street's been uninhabitable and unusable, and we immediately, of course, you got to keep your engines and your crews on duty, which they have been 24/7 since that time. But for a few weeks, they had to be scattered to different stations, 2, 3, 4, and 5, at Station 1 downtown being closed. But we didn't like that setup, and the firefighters, you know, give them credit. They started nosing around and started thinking about it, and we found this. It's actually a city-owned property that they're just north of the convention center, where we've decided to temporarily place the downtown station. So our administrative staff went in there quickly. Have been there for many weeks, and they've been developing the facility there. So now we have installed a temporary but a very effective, actually, garage structure that if you sneak in and look on 4th Street right by the B-line, you'll see a white building, basically, kind
I
of fabric
that. On steel Sunday, yeah.
that houses the engine. And now there are two engines that basically were centered in downtown, and we only have one because a big ladder truck won't fit anywhere around there. So the big ladder truck's out on the west side, but the engine, which is really the quick response vehicle anyway, it moves faster, is right there ready to go. And as of today our crews are now 24/7 living there, sleeping there, eating there, on duty on their 24-hour shifts, ready to go out, and the dispatch system alerts that garage instead of any place else. And so kudos to them, and be careful when you're on 4th Street. Maybe the kids at Wonder Lab will get a kick out of watching it across the street. I don't know, every once in a while pull out. So
that with the construction of the 4th Street garage has been probably one of your quieter east-west corridors. So having mm-hmm. the fire station there makes a lot of sense because it's just not a highly trafficked area right now. But I saw them working on that Sunday evening around 7 o'clock, so they were hustling to get everything put up. And I was like, oh, I know what that is. I know what they're doing. I know what they're doing over there. So that made sense to me. But I bet a lot of people were wondering just what the heck.
Yeah, and this is often stuff you learn, and I only learned a little bit of it. But a fire engine, for example, you can't park a fire engine in a parking lot and leave it overnight. And you have to have a garage that secures it. There's a lot of equipment. There's frankly a lot of dangerous equipment there, and our firefighters need to know that the engine is protected and secure. So it took us a few weeks to get that settled, but that's one of the quicker buildings to go up in Bloomington, so we're happy to be able to do that to protect all of us.
So the update then for the 4th Street station is there is no update?
No news, really. Okay. Yeah, we really have to think about that. Both the police station is still not what we want either in terms of up to snuff, but though they're able to work out of it. And of course, they don't really live there the same way the firefighters do. But both of those are really kind of on the table to think about what's the future, what should it be for our community.
And you have to give those who protect us, you have to give them the best so they can function at their best. And this is a short-term little hiccup, but maybe a longer-term issue we'll have to keep our eyes on. Another longer-term issue, one more thing before we let you go. Where are we with annexation? I know that's there's been some meetings out in the county here, Zoom, and I think the Monroe County Fairgrounds had a get-together out there. Where's the council on this, the city council? And what does everybody need to know here in the immediate right now? I don't want it to get lost in schools getting back and all this other stuff is going on, but we've got some pretty important dates coming up.
Yeah. So, annexation is a state law determined process, and one of the steps that we do under the state process is a formal public hearing, and that's held tomorrow, August 4th, Wednesday. From 3 p.m. on, the City Council will be hosting a public hearing to receive information from people who want to give their information about the annexation. So people are welcome to do that. It's going to be in person at City Hall and hybrid. I probably, particularly given what's going on with the virus, would encourage people to do that in the hybrid Zoom links if you can. But the council will be meeting in City Hall for the first time in a long time with a lot of protocols. But I also would say this, we welcome feedback any time. I mean, the public hearing is a legal process, but it is also perfectly welcome, and we would welcome any input by email or phone call or drop in City Hall or send me a pigeon or anything you want to send to tell me what you think about annexation. And then once that hearing is done, then there's another few weeks that are kind of calculations, and are there going to be amendments and other things like that. And then between 30 and 60 days after that hearing is when the city council will need to take action up or down on each of the different ordinances. So that's probably going to be in September. And then that starts another legal process of if they pass whatever ordinance they pass, there's notice that goes out to people about if you still don't like it, what you can do and that stuff. So we got months ahead of us, but you know, the city's done it hundreds of times before, and we'll get through it one way or the other. And I continue to think the boundaries need to evolve with the people. That's what cities typically do. As people keep moving here, we keep welcoming them in and changing the boundaries, and some people like it and some people don't. We'll see what happens.
Well, that sounds about normal with just about anything we go on. But if you go to the city's website, bloomington.in.gov/city/annexation, frequently asked questions, upcoming events, including office hours on Thursday, August 12th and
indeed
Thursday, August 19th. The Zoom link for meetings are up there as well, so everything is front and center. You can even go backwards and see what you might have missed with previous videos from meetings and other things going on. So if you need to get caught up, you can do so as
well. And there's a fun set of maps that say, look back at what our city boundary was in 1950 and 1960 and 1970 and 1980, and you can kind of see the regular change of the city.
But you have some islands and you have some, well, half of a neighborhood goes and the other half doesn't. How does that make
sense?
Right. I can see why people... It's just not perhaps as cut and dry. I think there was an article, over the weekend about a neighborhood of a group of people. And you're always going to find exceptions to these rules. But, again, there is no perfect answer to anything. So get involved in the process, folks, if you want to get involved with it. And in your opinion, and I don't know if this is going to change anybody else's or go here to there, but if this was addressed over the last 20-odd years or so, do you think there'd be this much consternation? Or because this was left on the shelf for so long, is that the major issue, in your opinion?
Oh, it's absolutely because it's been left alone for so long that it's made it... People forgot that this development was always meant to be part of the city 20 years ago, but, you know, we kind of have short memories and like, well, no, now I'm not. I'm not sure I want to be, even though it was meant to be when it was created. And absolutely, you know, cities should annex more incrementally. We didn't. I wasn't the mayor, but we didn't, and I'm trying to play catch up so we can get back to where we ought to be, which is just gradually grow the boundaries as developments happen. And unfortunately, you got to catch up or you'll never catch up. So that's what this is trying to do.
Interesting. Yeah, so people have plenty of resources for information, plenty of meetings coming up, plenty of ways getting involved. All right, don't forget National Night Out happening right now at the Switchyard Park from 4 to 7 p.m. Thank you so much for your time, my friend. Have fun at Fairview tomorrow. Root them on. Get those doors open, and everybody be safe out there for the first day of school tomorrow, and we'll talk to you and get a full report next Tuesday.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Have a good week.